Hey, 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 good people. It's your girl, Fredrika McClary Easley, back with another episode of Bum 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 Bum. The people are blunt. All right. First of all, I have to shout out the merch. Y'all see our new t-shirts? I love them. Y'all see the branding? If you also love them, go ahead and go over to the People's Ecosystem. Check out our merch and our wellness line with our CBD. Y'all know that we are on all the platforms, Apple Music, YouTube, Spotify, Amazon Prime. We are on all the things. Please like, subscribe, share, do all of the good stuff. I actually respond to the comments, so please do that. Let me know how you feel about what you're hearing and what else you want to see. And so without further ado, we have a guest today. I am super excited about this. I'm about to bring our guest up. Let me go ahead and switch some things around up in here. Hey, people.
Hey.
To the stage, Miss Ebony Jones. Hey, Ebony, how are you?
Hello, hello. I am doing absolutely wonderful. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you. So, full transparency, Ebony responded to our email, you know, the contact, when you're like, hey, I have something to say, or I want to be on the People Are Blunt. And I'm so happy you did, because it just made me aware of all of the dope shit that you are doing. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So,
all right. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. I'm glad you had that button.
Yeah. I'm glad you pushed the button. So for those who do not know who Ebony Jones is, please tell the people a little bit about yourself.
I am a cannabis-friendly pastry chef, baker, as well as a cannabis-friendly ordained minister and educator. I actually reside in Tulsa at the moment, but I'm coming from Atlanta, Georgia. I graduated from Le Cordon Bleu, and honestly, working in the cannabis industry has always been a dream of mine. When I was in the 10th grade, I lost a little cousin to a rare form of cancer, and he was only 6 years old when he was diagnosed and 7 years old when he passed. And going to a funeral with that many kids was like the weirdest thing ever. So after that, and losing a few other older aunts and uncles to cancer, it just really became like a journey of mine. So from 10th grade all the way until college, everybody knew that cannabis was something that I wanted to do. So just like I reached out to you and I shot my shot, that's exactly what I did with other cannabis companies across the country. I just started applying for jobs. I graduated from Le Cordon Bleu in 2016. And after that, I worked in baking jobs for about 3 years. And I was like, this is not getting it. I told my mama, hey, I'm about to start applying to stuff. And only one company reached back out, and they were willing to fly me. I went to Arizona for the interview. After that, they helped me relocate to Oklahoma. And the rest has been history. I started a business once I got out here, selling non-infused baked goods and educating patients on how to infuse their own products and their food at home. And I've just been continuing to trailblaze and do weddings as well as my cannabis infused ministry.
So first of all, you just laid it all out, and we're gonna have to unpack some of that. Okay, so first of all,
ma'am, gotta have it ready.
Look, you have your elevator pitch together. Okay, so first of all, you mentioned your cousin. Your younger cousin. I'm so sorry to hear that. What has been your personal relationship with the plant? I understand your little cousin. We know the medicinal values of cannabis, specifically with cancer. Last year, my mom went through chemo, and you know, we were able to handle her pain management, so she didn't have to take all those opioids with the plant. And so I'm right there with you. But in terms of your personal relationship with the plant, how has that been, or when did that start?
I will say that started very early when I was in middle school, and I honestly didn't realize what my relationship was with the plant until I started my actual healing journey. So So that means therapy and actually undoing a lot of the different things that I had went through. So I realized that cannabis had become very therapeutic for me in dealing with my traumas. I was a victim of sexual abuse, and a lot of different things went on in our family that we were younger that we didn't realize, you know, was happening. So when I got older, I started realizing that I had blocked a lot of these things out. So cannabis became definitely something that helped me with my anxiety. Especially after a suicide attempt in high school, and everything just started coming out, and I really started the healing process of talking with my mom about it, because she like hated that I smoked. And once I started talking to her and helping her understand, like, hey, mentally, I'm really, really going through a lot. So just in general, her doctors started more so understanding, because she was getting drug tests and all kinds of stuff. So from that's where my personal journey started is. At a young age, I was going through it mentally, and that was one of the only ways that I was able to stay sane. Because once she did find out, and they started putting me on any kind of, they were just putting me on medicines. I became addicted to pain pills at like 12 or 13 because I had bad period cramps. They were pushing like pills on me, and I was addicted to pain pills until probably like 18 when I really got into my mental health journey.
Yeah. Was your mental health journey, was that something that you started, or was that something that your mom supported or encouraged you to start? Because I know in our community it's so taboo, right? Like, we take our problems to Jesus. We take our problems to the church and we leave
Yes,
them there.
ma'am.
You know what I'm saying? In terms of like going to see a
No, I
therapist,
do.
it's like, what is that therapist gonna tell you that
Yeah, so
Jesus
I
came?
will. Exactly. I will say that my mom, she put me in therapy because one of my friends was in therapy, and her mom was like, well, why don't you just send her here? Because they had put me on birth control, and it had me going crazy. Like, I was on this one birth control named Yaz, so my mood
I
swings were
remember
up and
Yaz.
down. Like, I like hated my mama. She's like the very best person in the world, and like I was so mean. So that is where it started. I had this therapist named Miss Helen, which is crazy. That's my mom's name also. And that's where it started. And I was able to at least open up, and I felt comfortable there. She was a white therapist, but she was a little older woman, but she definitely made me feel comfortable enough to where me and my mom were able to start that journey. So I am very grateful for that. My mama was the first one to put me in a position to know it was okay to talk about my feelings. And now she'd be like, look, okay, we be talking about our feelings all the
She like, girl, listen, I don't want to hear no more about your feelings today.
I know. But like you said, it's taboo in the Black community, and it's helped so much for me, in all honesty, you know, just being able to talk and heal and being able to forgive and say, hey, I know y'all were doing the best that y'all could. As an adult, my perspective now is, can we just talk about it? Because it helps so much. And I just feel like this, I'm all for mental health awareness and pushing that for anybody.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the combination is so necessary in terms of like we know the plant heals, but that's like one component, right? Like there's this other unpacking that, you know, yep, there's that mental unpacking that also has to be done. I feel like sometimes the plant helps you to mentally or to physically kind of relax, right? Because like I look at our bodies as trees, as like stumps, and so our body keeps the score. Like even though our mind will help protect us and kind of like force us to almost forget some things that don't serve us, our body remembers. And so this can relax our nervous system to the point where we can even start to tap into some of that stuff.
Yes, and I think that is very true. In my education journey, one thing that I do, whether it's, you know, infusing products or anything, I always try to let people know, you know, they have so many different products out here to where they're 1,000 milligrams, 2,000 milligrams. I'm not an advocate for just getting high, or, you know, we love our stoners, but we're more of a make sure you find a medicinal purpose. Try to take a tolerance break if you realize that you are becoming more dependent on cannabis that you would like to, or if you can't sift through your emotions without being like, okay, let me go light a blunt, you know, or after every single thing that you do, definitely, like, you know, we don't want to make it a coping mechanism. We do want to keep it, you know, we are patients, keep it more medicinal, like you said, to relax the body, maybe help going to sleep. If you can only consume it at the end of the evening, you know, at the end of the day, I'm definitely for it.
So let's get into, okay, so we've gone into, you know, your personal relationship. I saw the area code on the phone number. I was like, that's Atlanta. That is not Oklahoma. Let's get to this point though. So Le Cordon Bleu, anytime I love like cooking shows, right? Gordon Ramsay and all of them. And so I'm like, anytime I hear that, when I first saw that, when I was doing my research, I said, wait a minute, how was that experience? Like, what got you into food and also specifically pastries? Is that your specialty?
Yes, ma'am. How did I get there? I honestly like to say it's like embedded in my roots. My grandma was a home economics teacher. So it was like, you got to have a pathway when you get into school. What do you want to do? So at middle school, I'm like, I don't really want to do wood chop or music or anything else. So I was like, let me just do home ec. So that started in middle school. I did it all the way up until high school. I did all 4 years culinary. But honestly, I just had the munchies. So I was like, let me just go. I want to eat all the food. But I actually picked up on a lot of the stuff and I didn't really realize how much I absorbed, and it became one of my favorite classes. And I took 2 years off after I graduated. Well, not even 2 years, maybe a few months. My mom got sick and she was like, what do you want to do? What do you want to start doing? And I went to visit the school and they was like, this is the culinary kitchen, this is the pastry kitchen. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to do the pastry. Like, it the cakes drew me, like, just, I don't know, the classes were just different. And I will always tell anybody, culinary and pastry are totally different. Your bakers and your culinary people are like so totally different. It's like a beautician and a barber. So, but that's how I started there. And I'm getting a little bit more into the culinary side now, but that's where my journey started. I always kind of like to credit my grandma too. Our family, they cook, they bake. I remember sitting around the table and looking at watching them make the pies. And now that I think about it now, that's how me and my mom used to spend quality time. She would take us to the bakery, and this one bakery in Rockmart, Georgia. And I was like, oh wow, that's how she used to have dates with us. She used to take us to the bakery. So that's how that started. Yeah.
Some sweets for her sweets. So what is your favorite thing? What is your favorite thing to bake? What's your favorite sweet?
I always let everybody know I don't have a specific thing that I like to bake because I'm not a one-track mind person. I like to just kind of go all around. But I will say, like, when it comes to my spirit, one thing that I love to bake for other people is my grandmother's sweet potato pie.
Girl.
Because nobody else was able to. Look, I'm telling you, one of the youngest ones in my family. Nobody ever believes it's good, but when I tell you it's my best seller, because me and my mama figured out the recipe. Y'all know how we figured out the recipe, but nobody else in our family has that recipe. And she remembered, she just had two brain surgeries, so she don't remember nothing. But somehow, just from sitting around the table, every few months she remembered different ingredients. So we tried it about 20 times and we finally got it. And when I took my grandmama and her aunt and my aunt a slice, they started crying. They was like, this tastes just like mama's pie. Like, where did you get this recipe? I was like, me and mama figured it out. So that is my favorite. That's the one that I love for people to be like, you so young and you baking pie like this? Sure is.
Listen, because it's a couple of things that you can't mess up. Okay. One is don't fuck with the macaroni and cheese. Okay. Do not mess up macaroni and cheese. Two, the pies. Okay. Specifically sweet potato. I'm not talking about pumpkin and none of them other apples and none of that stuff. Specifically,
Specifically sweet potato.
if you come up in here and you done did some foolishness to the pie, you might get canceled.
I just don't think you understand the nervousness that I feel when I'm at events and I'm selling pies, and older people will come up and they'll be like,
Because
who made this pie? I'll be
those
like,
aunties, and that's how they do it too. They'd be like, who made this pie? Because first of all, you ain't got enough wiggle under here.
my goodness, my daddy said that.
Because
That is so funny.
the pots have old Negro spirituals in them, okay? Like you ain't got enough of this.
Man.
You won't got enough trauma and having to walk to school. And five brothers and sisters in one bedroom shack and only had one pair of shoes. Like that's the kind of energy that gotta go
That's in
into
them pies. I'm
yeah.
trying to tell you. That's why I said it's my ancestor in that pie. I really do believe so because it wasn't nothing but that. And honestly, I do love to see when other people do come up. One lady, she was like, took a sample and walked off, and she whipped around so fast, and she was like, "This some good pie, girl." I was like, "Thank you." She was like, "Where you get?" I'm like, "It's my great grandmother's recipe." I was like, "I had." She was like, "Nah, because ain't no young people out here make." So that's my pride and joy right there.
Yeah,
That sweet potato pie.
that's how
Yes,
you know you
ma'am.
got something. That's how you know you got something. So when you started infusing your sweets, what was the, I guess, the most interesting thing about that? Because like I remember prior to the regulated space, people would be at home in their kitchen and they're making these edible brownies that like are stronger than a mug. Like I remember I ate a brownie and I lost 2 days, okay?
Right. Right. No, I get it.
So what was I guess what was that experience like, or what was the most interesting thing of taking your skill set and then bringing it into the cannabis space?
In all honesty, when I, like you said, the people that are just doing it in their kitchen and just doing the regular, when I was doing that, I was just bake like, I was just baking. Like I didn't really understand the medicinal side of it. So when I really was able to get into the industry, because I was like, I don't want to just be out here just baking edibles for people and selling them stuff. I don't know how their body will react to it. I don't know if they'll lose 2 days or if they'll lose 4 days. I don't like for my customers to feel like that. So once I actually stepped into it and I started working for Sublime Brands out of Arizona. And we were working with distillate, and I really was getting educated on how to properly dose and seeing the difference between Georgia cannabis and medicinal cannabis. Like, because at one point they did edibles didn't affect me at all, but when I came out here, I was like, okay, this is a different ball game. Like, so the most interesting part for me was realizing all the amazing things that you could make with it. Like, oh my goodness. For me, that was because it's like all you hear is pot brownies, pot brownies, pot brownies. And I'm like, oh no, I can make a sweet potato pie. I can make a crumb cake. I can make chocolate bars. I can make caramels, popcorn. Oh, they don't mess up. Because then it was like, I already know how to make all of that. I'm like, I'm already skilled in that. So that was the most interesting part. And like, I really do pray for the day that things become more recreational in a medicinal way so that we can offer those gourmet infused cannabis products that you don't have to alter for the shelf life for them to be on shelves for like 2 years. Because for me, I'm like, that's just weird. That's like GMO. So for me,
Don't want
that's my
anything.
most interesting thing
I don't
about
want anything that's been on the shelf for 2 years. Like,
Look, and that's one. That's a kind of the law out here is like you. It has to be preserved enough to last on the shelf for at least 6 months. And I'm like, what are you putting in it for it to have to last that long?
that's not, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like,
Right?
I want mine now. I want mine now. Like hot stuff, pick it up. I want mine right now. Like, a couple
Yes, and that.
days, okay. But so let's talk about Oklahoma though, right? Because Oklahoma in cannabis was seen as like the wild, wild west. Like I remember when Oklahoma opened up and there was like the open market, free enterprise, they weren't doing all of the like the equity programs and things like and things of that nature because the licensing was reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was in it. So what was that experience like?
Oh my goodness, it was so fun. We talk about this now because now like all of our friends are like, we're canopreneurs. So oh my goodness, we were outside and it was so, there were events galore. Oklahoma was the wild, wild west. You could go anywhere. You could go to a cannabis event and come home with like three, five to seven in pre-rolls and cannabis because there were so many people out here. They were just giving away weed because nobody was making money. So it was quite interesting, but I will say we had quite a time. Like I really got to see what it was like to be in the cannabis industry and to meet so many different great people out here. I can honestly say the people are a community, but I will say it's the people from out of state. In Oklahoma, it is still, when I first got here right before COVID, so that's another thing.
Yeah, we're going to go into that.
Right before COVID hit. So, it was just different, but once it started opening back up, then people started getting out and circulating. It was really interesting to me, though, because there weren't many Black faces in cannabis out here, and I came from Atlanta. So it was very easy for me to come out here, and like once being consistent with it, people were able to know who I was in the cannabis space. I'm like, there's no Black cannabis chefs out here. Like,
it was
wild. So, but it was fun. It's been nice. Now it's locked up a lot. It's changed a lot.
I must say, I know Oklahoma has had some rollback, but what you're describing, it almost kind of puts me in the mind of like Cali when they were able to have their medical program. It really was like the cannabis culture of we're not focused on making money. We're not focused on the revenue. We're more so focused on like product development, and we're focused on like being communal and meeting and socializing, getting to know each other. And like that has to be an awesome space to be in, because in so many other markets right now, like everything is so competitive because of the taxation and because of, you know, license caps and things of that nature.
It was great because they didn't just embrace just the cannabis entrepreneurs. They embraced people like myself, like, oh my goodness. Then a bakery. I learned from the Girl Scouts. I'll never forget, like, maybe like 10 years ago, before I even started, I'll never forget hearing somebody say Girl Scouts popped up outside of a dispensary and they sold out. So me doing the events, oh my goodness. They literally embraced the people that crocheted. So it was community. Like, because COVID and it was slow, the cannabis industry here, because everybody came from California. For one, it was a lot cheaper to live in Oklahoma, and people realized that once the pandemic hit. So it was a flux of people that had more money than the Oklahomans that were able to come here, host events. And the events, because when I came here, it was so hard. I was by myself. Yeah. I knew nobody here. I was the only Black person at my job. And I prayed to find a community of people that were able to. And I always get emotional every time I think about it, because the first few years out here were really, really hard. So finding the cannabis community and the people that really embraced me and have seen my journey, although it has been a task, I would not trade it at all, because it's made me the entrepreneur that you see me today. So I kind of missed the Wild Wild West, but I did start seeing where, okay, this isn't educational. It's not about the patients. We started hosting mental health and wellness events. We weren't getting the funding to help us with it. So that's where I started getting frustrated, is where it's like, well, y'all will fund the stoner events, but you won't help fund the mental health and wellness events, the yoga events, the alternative medicine events. I have to beg you to support that. So there were its pros and cons. While we did have fun, it was like, okay, well, how do we get back to making sure we are educated?
Yeah. And so you see that shift now? Like, do you see now that Oklahoma is kind of like reined some stuff in, are you seeing a shift towards wellness now?
So I won't necessarily say is there are specific groups, like myself, the Underground Collective. There are just other people that are hosting those spaces. I will say right now, people seem to just be trying to survive in Oklahoma because they have passed a lot of new laws that have tightened up, and it seems like they are trying to weed out the smaller businesses. The people, it's a lot of people that aren't going to be able to afford to stay alive in the industry after a few years. And those are the companies that would help support the mental health awareness. So I can honestly say, no, because financially it just seems like it is drying up out here. They're just trying to find a way to continue to keep their businesses open, that people are saying like, hey, when are y'all going to host more events? When are y'all going to do this? You know, but sometimes it's hard because if you don't have that funding coming in for those mental health events, then you are just putting yourself in the hole to give people something that you need as well.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the stuff that you do. Like, I know I've been on your IG. First of all, let me plug it again. Black Butterfly, y'all see it. Make sure y'all follow Ebony on IG so you can stay up to date in terms of what she has going on. But I saw, I was like, okay, wait. So she has, like, she's doing events, and I want you to talk about it. I'm gonna just do highbrow, but I see events, I see all the sweets, like good things. I see you doing weddings. I'm like, what is, I'm like, okay, this mixture that you have going on, and that also became a thing though. Like, as states regulated, you saw people having weed tables or weed setups at their weddings, you know what I mean? At their during the after party, you know what I'm saying? And or the reception, excuse me. So tell the people what all you're offering, and how you can be contacted and all that good stuff.
And I want to start with this because everyone, I do a lot of different things. And what most people are always like, you need to niche down, you need to niche down. And as a Black entrepreneur, when you are just, you know, working to survive, when you are, you have to, I feel like we have to have so many different hats. So my manager that I'm working with, she's my accountant, and she was like, how about we just make you are the brand. So I just got my website, and it is theebonyjones.org,
Wait,
or
hold
you can go to
on.
eight. Yeah, she can
The
go to h ebonyjones.org.
got you.
All right, thank you, Queen. So I am the brand, and in that brand, Ebony Jones does. I am a pastry chef. I do baked goods, and I can also educate patients on how to infuse their home foods products, or at least an introduction to it. You know, we aren't looking to do it dab extractions in your home, but that is something that I offer. So I'm a cannabis friendly chef, educator, and a ordained minister. Those are my three titles. So as you've heard my journey about my pastry chef and baking and being able to switch that over into the cannabis infused side. And then as an educator, I do not process at my events or my virtual classes. I just show you how you can take some homegrown cannabis, and you can convert that into a tincture, into an oil, and you can make whatever you want, your little heart's desire at home, and you can control your milligrams. That's what I show you. That's what I introduce you to. I have an ebook coming out soon, as well as we have some recipe cards that I'm developing as well. And then that's just me giving back to the community. They say once you gain knowledge, give it back out. So that's how you continue to grow. And then on the last end, I would be the ordained ministry. So one day I was just sitting and I was like, dang, how many ministers can you just call and be like, hey, I'm having a cannabis friendly wedding. Will you still marry me? For one, I love to break the stigma that you can't smoke weed and talk about God or talk about spirituality or a higher power or what you believe in. Because I come from a very Christian background. My grandmother is very stickler. And they're like, you can't hold the Bible and do that. Well, why can't? If I'm learning about the word and doing what I need to, what's the difference? So I seen how much of a stigma that was. And I was like, well, that's obviously a need. So why don't I feel that need? And honestly, I've gotten a lot of great feedback from it. I just had my first Christmas wedding. And they're mostly, you know, smaller weddings, but people just love it that, you know, they can choose how they want their ceremony to go. So yeah, it's been a great journey. I'm still learning a lot of different things. There's going to be a lot more that I add to the brand, but it will all continue to align with one thing, and that is healing, yeah, spirituality, wherever God leads me to. That's just what I'm doing.
First of all, I love how you put that, because sometimes in religion, I feel like we shortchange God a little bit. You know what I mean? It's like, well, you can't go to a party. You know, you can't go to the club. God don't want you to go to the club. God don't want you to dance. Mm-hmm. God don't want you to smoke. And it's like, the Bible said God was with the people, you know, and with the people when they were doing all of these things, literally turning water into wine. So I'm like, well, I don't really know about your God, but my God, you know what I'm saying, is about communing. And my God is not, you know, judgmental like that. Like, my God did not say that I can't have a good time. So I love that, you know, your brand, Ebony Jones being the brand, is centered around looking at spirituality in more of a comprehensive and a holistic way.
Yes, and I think that's important. Go. Oh, I'm sorry, my dogs are.
No, I heard.
Humans and they be talking
to me. Dog is like, what is going on?
So, we've been quiet long enough. But I think that's important, because I wouldn't have been able to do any of this without my higher power. You know, yeah. And also, I know what it feels like for religion to be forced on you as well. Yeah. So being able to just move in my own light and what I feel my beliefs are, and I see God show up for me every day, no matter what the world's standards are, that's just where, you know, I am. And this last wedding that I had, they were like, you know, I know you're more spiritual, you know, like, them asking me to include God into it, and the fact that they felt comfortable enough for, you know, like, I did just get into this, you know, just for people to have, you know, that space. But as I'm growing and I'm really seeing like what love is and what love really means and what I'm being a part of,
yeah,
it's just changing my whole perspective. You know, it's really growing me up a whole lot more, and just really seeing how it's all just beautiful. You know, I'm really all for healing the whole body, the family, but healing the Black community is one of my biggest things that I fight for.
Yeah. Well, Ebony, we appreciate you. We thank you for all that you're doing. For those who are in Oklahoma, for the viewers who are in Oklahoma, outside of, again, I'm plugging Black Butterfly, but is there a specific location that they can come and taste some of your amazing treats or come and holler at you? Where do you usually have your events? Let's plug that.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you for what you are offering here. I will shout out to LaRue's Kitchen at Mother Road Market on Route 66. A very, very great, amazing company that I came down and they seen me doing my thing and doing just pop-ups and different events. We had an event center, Studio 30, that we used to host all of our events at. That's closed down. But once they were voted into a space by the community, and they were like, hey, Black Butterfly, come and do your vegan desserts. And they sell my desserts out of their establishment. So LaRue's Kitchen and Mother Road Market. We are now on DoorDash. You can order on motherroadmarket.com as well. We will be hosting events there eventually, as well as with the Underground Collective. They host events at the Hedge, always cannabis friendly. Not all of their events are cannabis friendly, but The Hedge, Tulsa. So come and see me. I do weddings at Gypsy Coffee House in Tulsa. Or just reach out if you are visiting Tulsa and you need something to do or you're just looking. I'm always an open book to point you in the right direction.
Awesome. Well, Ebony, thank you so much for coming to talk to the people and sharing of yourself and your journey and what you have going on. We have to support women-owned, Black-owned, minority-owned businesses. So, hey, good people, if y'all are in the Tulsa area, if you're in Oklahoma, swing through, holla at Ebony again, Black Butterfly. As for the people who are blunt, y'all already know we are on all the platforms. Like, subscribe, share, do all of the good things. And until next time, y'all, stay blunt.